Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. I'm delighted to introduce our guest today, Steve Moore, innovation manager for a large construction company and founder of Intact, a tact planning SaaS for construction projects. He is the first in a line of exhibitors slated to appear on our show.
So when I go to a trade show, I really hope to make at least one or two sales. So with our SaaS service, if we make even a single sale at a trade show, it gets paid for itself. The expense of going there and the time, but also to establish our name brand more fully. It has been helpful and to the point where now when we go to trade shows in our niche, so we're a construction software company, that now most people have heard of us. And that is very valuable, starting to build that common name brand. So those are two things I'm really after. But then another side product that we get out of it is that we're able to connect with existing customers as well. And they're able to see us and establish a name with the face and fortify that relationship further. So I guess maybe it's a threefold.
Steve possesses a deep passion for scheduling and innovation within the construction industry. He has led scheduling efforts on several billion dollars of projects across various sectors, holds multiple credentials, speaks regularly at conferences, and has been featured in various publications. He has made notable contributions to the industry through the invention of many physical construction products, digital hardware and software, which are now widely used on construction projects. As mentioned earlier, in addition to his day job as innovation manager for a large construction company, he runs two construction software startups in his off hours. Now, on to this insightful episode with Steve Moore. Steve, welcome to the Trade Show Podcast. I'm delighted that finally I was able to, shall I say, pin you down to spend time and talk to us. Welcome.
It wasn't easy, but Shubhanjan, I'm glad to be here and talking with you today.
Thank you. You are, as I mentioned, my first exhibitor guest, and that means a lot in the sense that I think the ROI for the trade shows really is about the exhibitor getting value and the exhibitor's customer getting value. And then only the organizer can derive value, right? So I think it's very critical that exhibitors are heard and understood. And we have been looking at a lot of research data from IAEE, their research arm CEIR, and elsewhere. And there is significant gaps between what the organizers want to do and what the exhibitors want. So I'll not go into the details of the research, but let's dive into your process and start by asking, when you go as a company to a trade show, what expectation are you going with?
That's a great question. So when I go to a trade show, I really hope to make at least one or two sales. So with our SaaS service, if we make even a single sale at a trade show, it gets paid for itself. The expense of going there and the time, but also to establish our name brand more fully. It has been helpful and to the point where now when we go to trade shows in our niche, so we're a construction software company, that now most people have heard of us. And that is very valuable, starting to build that common name brand. So those are two things I'm really after. But then another side product that we get out of it is that we're able to connect with existing customers as well. And they're able to see us and establish a name with a face and fortify that relationship further. So I guess maybe it's a threefold.
Yeah, I think typically those are the three goals exhibitors have when they're going in. So A, get new revenue, which means new customers. B, do some amount of brand building. And C, be there for your existing customers to feel confident that we are dealing with a company which is actually out there and doing stuff and not invisible when industry meets happen. So if you break it down, obviously the name brand building is sort of intangible. It's not easy to measure, right? And what you can measure possibly is the revenue, the ability to actually convert and sell. So is your sort of prep focused on that primarily? Because the name brand bit will happen, so as to say, on its own, right?
Yeah, so the name brand building, it happens. It's tough to measure, like you said, like where that comes from. Like we get very lagging indicators with our software that, you know, we've been in business for, or we've started creating the software 5 years ago and have been slowly building that momentum, but we're starting to see it grow kind of with a significant lag to our efforts. But we are seeing it growing proportionally to our efforts. It's been a process to try and see the benefits. Like sometimes it's like we're able to make connections with many clients or many potential clients at a conference. And I walk away from many of them thinking that person's going to purchase, or they even express we're going to purchase, but then not all of those materialize. Some of them materialize farther down the road. And the type of software we're selling is, you know, if we're running entire large construction projects. And so some of these things have that timing effect where we need to wait till a new project is starting to get in. And something I need to get better at is that keeping that connection and that follow-up and building that relationship between the time when they were excited about my product to the time when they have the opportunity to use it.
Right. And I think that you're not the only one who has this challenge. It is pretty widespread. One statistics I'll share with you, which I learned from one of these research that happened, that 70% of exhibitors do not follow up at all. Would you believe that?
And unfortunately, I can believe that because I'm a self-proclaimed really bad salesman. So I wear a couple of hats. So yeah. I have a day job where I'm the innovation manager for a large construction company. But I also have this startup. And with this startup, I don't have a lot of time to dedicate to it. And it's crazy. I'm the CEO and we have over a dozen salary or paid employees in that we have, but I only spend about 5 hours a week working on this product. And so it's been a balancing act. We're trying to get better about automated follow-ups. I know automated is probably not the best. You know, you want to have more personalized individual follow-ups. So I'll say I'm coming to this not as someone to necessarily teach everybody how to do good booths, but also I'm probably going to do more learning during this than anything else.
Sure. Let's start at the beginning. So basically, can you tell me what kind of pre-show prep are you doing before you participate in a trade show like the one you did?
Excellent. So you always get the list of attendees prior to the event. And there's all these rules around how you can use that list. But we try to at least make our presence known that we're going to be there, that it's something to drop in and see at the event. We also have our own social media followings. LinkedIn's probably our strongest for our particular segment. And we'll list that we're going to be there, but it probably would be good to figure out which of our customers are going to be there and follow up specifically with them to let them know to check in. And then we go through the branding with all this. This was kind of an interesting show for us. Like, you know, being an innovation manager, I'm always trying to find new, like, interesting ways to manage it. At this conference, I wasn't able to man the booth. Like, I had to have a couple partners come and man the booth. because I also had other speaking roles at the conference and other engagements, things that that were important for me to be there for. And so being able to dedicate such little time, I built this device. Kind of an interesting vision. I've seen displays where you have a projected image onto the backdrop. And I wanted to take that a step further, get a lot of the most commonly asked questions from people. And I created this controller where people can just walk up to it and hit a button, and it plays a 20-second video that answers their question. And we had 8 of those videos, like the most common questions that people ask. It just gets straight to the point. I put little arcade style buttons that are lit up, and on the backdrop, I had an animation that, you know, invited people to push a button to learn more, and created this kind of self-serve experience as kind of an experiment. Seeing like, you know, having less presence at the booth, but letting people walk up and interact with it. Would that actually increase engagement or would that decrease engagement? I'm an introvert, so I always expect people to want the introvert approach to a booth. You know, when I walk through an exhibit hall, so I always don't want to get sucked into to people's booths and the big, long conversations just to learn what their software is about or product and learn it doesn't even apply to me, but just kind of politely nodding my head yes. And so with this approach, people can jump in, just hit a button, get a really short, concise, but really flashy explanation of it. And they can even skip to the next one if they're bored, and just allowing them to fish through that really fast. And crazy enough, I found the experiment worked. Like, people did interact with it. People liked it. Even the people that manned the booth, they were able to use that device to just jump through and show things really quickly. Yeah, I'm kind of rambling here, but in the past, sometimes you have a laptop and you have a live software going, maybe projecting that up onto a large screen. Even that can be clumsy and clunky and slow, and then you have a bunch of other people back up waiting. But having these pre-prepared videos that go straight to the heart of the matter on these different features was a huge help. So our salespeople were able to like explain features, then just tap a button and have it show that feature really quickly, rather than having to personalize it each time.
Makes sense, and it also standardizes the response. So irrespective of which salesperson is talking, the answer is the same, and that's sort of standardized. That's one of the biggest challenges that people have. So I'm glad that you tried this. So how many people in total tried this out? Do you have any count?
So I was not present at the booth for a lot of the show, but I'd say that, and this is kind of cool, this latest show, I've noticed a trend as well that lately the conferences have been giving more time to the exhibit hall and really putting much of events in the exhibit hall, and you know, you to come to the exhibit hall to get breakfast and you know, all these different opportunities to get more people there. But I'd say during the day, we'd probably have, and this is a conference of about 1,800 people. I'm guessing we had a good 100 per day people like just really coming and engaging and getting interested in it.
And where your sales guys scanning their badge so you know which 100 came when?
And so that's something I've been really bad at in the past. You know, I don't want to use the conferences scanning tools, but there are some tools that I know some people that are developing that allow you to scan the badges and just, you know, more easily just with a camera and have it search LinkedIn. And I don't know if you want to put a plug in for some of your own tools that you're working on. But our people that were there, they were getting better about scanning. I'm going to throw another little caveat into here, side note, is one thing we did, since I don't have very much time to dedicate to sales and marketing, is I partnered with a company that's really, really good and specialized in the processes that we support. This company with over 70 tax planning consultants, and we sell a tax planning software. So we partnered together, and they have a really big social media presence and really big recognition. So we built a combined booth for both companies. And so they say, we support the software, they support the process, we support the software. And so we had both of those services together. And with that, they have a bunch of books and things like that that are really highly sought after and people really enjoy reading. Yeah. And so they said, you know, in order to get one of these books, we need to scan your badge and or have you sign up for the sign up for the software to try it out on a trial basis, or things along those lines. So there were some ways we used to get people interested and then scan the badge. And then we had a personalized follow-up with each one of those, like what they could remember from the conversations and just reaching out very, very specifically on those.
So how long did you take to do the follow-up, this personalized follow-up?
That's another great question. So I've heard that it's, you know, really good to follow up as soon as possible after the conference while the fire and the spark is still there. Our follow-up, just to be honest, took about a week till we followed up, which I can see that as like, we need to improve that.
Right. And how did you keep track of conversations? You said that you personalized it based on the conversation you had. So what was the mechanism that you used to actually keep track of the conversations?
And so in this regard, like in past conferences where I've, you know, been able to man the booth more full time, is kind of unorganized, is taking notes.
You're right.
In a separate app that, you know, I had to remember the names and all that. I've used the conference systems before that are provided to take those notes and scan the badges to that together. Right. But even that, you're like distracted, taking a bunch of notes while you have big crowds of people, and that can be difficult. So I'm not sure exactly how our people at the booth took their notes this time, but thinking out loud, it would be amazing to just be able to, I don't know if there'd be issues with this or not, or what your tool does exactly, but right. If it could just listen to the conversation and grab that context, maybe use AI to pull that out, that'd be really helpful.
Absolutely. And do you sort of work on taking this data and putting it into a CRM and put some continued sort of nurturing to go on with that? Because you did say that some of these potential customers actually come back later, maybe 1 year down the line, and they come back and buy. So are you sort of having a process in how you engage with them in this period?
We do have some automations in our CRM tool. And we can create, you know, unique automations for like for a conference, for example. We say like the attendees of this conference, put them through this the sequence. Though, I guess you might be talking to the wrong person. I should have invited a couple others from our marketing group. Sure. But I'd imagine that we just have the reminder set to follow up, and I'm probably going to have to, after this call, talk with them and follow up and make sure that we have those reminders set to continue those follow-up sure. conversations.
Sure. So going to the pre-show, which you mentioned that social media is one of the big vehicles that you use. So LinkedIn apparently works good, very well for you. So what exactly do you do in LinkedIn? I've been seeing a lot of posts, by the way, post-show.
Yep.
I didn't see as many pre-show. So what exactly was happening pre-show? What was your strategy? What did you do?
So we've actually been increasing our social media posts. That's been something that's coincided with this event, is now we are making at least a post a day and really meaningful posts. And that has dramatically increased our engagement and getting a lot more people exposed to our product and you know, a lot more likes and shares and things like that. So that has been very helpful. But I will say another flaw that we have is a lot of times we'll make a post about something, but we don't make more than one post about it. Mm. And so we need to get better about, you know, finding those events like LCI or conferences that are about to happen and figured out maybe a multi-post strategy rather than just a single, we're going to be there or we were there. You know, so that's...
Right.
If nothing else, it's causing me to think a lot more on this call.
Right. The other question I had in my mind is, at the booth, when you are meeting people and whatever level the interaction is happening, you are possibly also trying to assess who is a potential buyer and who is there for information, right? So these are two people in two different stages of their journey. Somebody is just setting out, they're possibly looking at a project 6 months down the line. They're thinking, oh, this time we have to put a project management software. Let's take a look at it. So they're there. They may not buy today, but they'll buy maybe 6 months down the line. And then there are these guys, they know, okay, now I'm evaluating four different project management software. I have not seen Intact. Let me take a look at it, what these guys have. How are you actually segregating at the booth and sort of, for the lack of a better word, rating these prospects, yeah, or the walk-ins who are coming to your booth?
I suppose there is like a mini funnel process, like a sales funnel process that goes on with each booth interaction. So I'm one of those types where, so I actually have people selling stuff to me all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to sell stuff to other people. So I get to sit on both sides of that. And right. I know how it is when someone, you know, really tries to attract you to a booth of something you're not interested in. You may go to be polite. And it is kind of an annoyance. And so I, you know, with that that lens on, I don't try to bring people in that aren't interested. Sure. But I try to allow them to see what it is we do, to see if there is some interest there. And then when I see somebody dwelling, you know, I'll ask him a simple question. Are you familiar with tact planning? So that's the methodology that our software supports. And I just start asking these qualifying questions to narrow in, like, what are their needs? And if you try to sell something to somebody that they're not interested in, like, it's not helpful in any way. And so I figure out what are their interests, like, and I say, and I have multiple pathways prepared. So if they are, if they already know what tact planning is all about, I can say, have you done any tact planning projects? Do you have, what software are you currently using? What methods? But if they don't even know what tact planning is, I'm prepared with a book, yeah, that I've, yeah, written, that explains tact planning. So it's not like an advertisement necessarily for our product, but it's value I can hand them to say, here's a 30-minute read that'll explain to you what tact planning is and how it benefits construction. And so I kind of shop for what their needs are. And then we've also created with the whole hands-off approach that I have, which I'm sure is a really bad sales approach, being so hands-off and passive and letting the sales come inbound rather than going outbound after them. I've created our product so that people can just play with it for free for the first month on any project. No credit card needed or anything, just kind of that no commitment, just jump in and start using it. And I express that as kind of our confidence in our product, that we know our product's that good to where we'll let you play with it without having to salesman you for like multiple meetings to be able to get you a demo. And so that's another value that I can offer them. And I really believe in that philosophy of providing good quality value to somebody that's going to earn their trust, but also, you know, build that reputation. And so we do that. We provide information on tact planning, education. We also let them just use our software for free and jump right in. So like by talking with us, they learn that, well, I can just go ahead and start scheduling in the software. And so we're giving that value. And then any other support or help we can provide them, sometimes it's support of how do I convince my team that tact planning is the right methodology? And we can talk through them and give advice and just provide good rather than saying, hey, look at this. And even if you're interested or not, check this out. It's more, how can I serve you? What is it that you need? Where are you at in that journey? Like, are you just becoming familiar with it? Or are you already familiar with it and you need a tool to leverage that further? And just whatever they have, just take it and give them something else add on to that to give back.
Yeah, makes total sense. And I think that's what modern selling is all about. People talk of co-building and co-creating, and these are what you just explained is a part of that same process extended, because nobody's going to buy because you're selling. People are going to buy because they need it.
We try to get on the same side with the customer where we're not salespeople and we don't have anyone with a title like sales manager, sales this or that. We have customer success. We have more like tact advocates. People just basically trying to make the industry better. And if it so be that the software helps with that, sure. But we really want to make the construction industry more efficient. We want to treat people's lives better. We want to, you know, better that. And like, I'm a firm believer in like, if you're trying to, you're providing something good and you're trying to make things better, that sales will follow.
Right. Absolutely. It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break,
we should be better about tracking that life cycle, the whole life cycle process. We've hired a a CRM expert in recent times that's helping us to build more advanced workflows and actually doing some development work and programming to be able to get a whole lot better with this. So that's something I'm really looking forward to, getting better about saying all these sales, what were their original origin? What was their first contact point? Or how many contact points do we have logged for that person? You know, maybe build some correlations there.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. What is the most effective or creative booth activation that you have done besides the one you spoke about this time?
So I'll say that is one I'm most excited about, but I always get more excited about the things that I've done most recently. In the past, I've had other startups. One of them was this the startup where we could put tasks on a wall. Like, people in construction like to use sticky notes and kind of create sequences there, but then there you have just a plan of sticky notes and it's not digital or anything you can do something with. And so I created this tool that allowed you to arrange these tasks on a wall with plastic slat notes, I call them, and move those around and then scan it with your phone. It digitizes it. And so that was a really fun one where we brought in a full-size big old slat wall and a nice looking booth to go with it, and let people come and just arrange and move tasks around, scan it, get that real time interaction with it. Like, that got like crowds gathered, and was a very interesting, compelling booth.
Interesting.
I love just like the hands on where they get to do something and take action. Mm-hmm. And not just sit there and listen to a boring old man ramble on for an hour.
Of course. Do you ever track the final output of these so that you know that this really actually generated revenue? Do you have a system in place where you can check that?
And honest, I'll be honest, I don't. But that's like when you ask the question, I'm like, yeah, I should. We should be better about tracking that life cycle, the whole life cycle process. We've hired a CRM expert in recent times that's helping us to build more advanced workflows and actually doing some development work and programming to be able to get a whole lot better with this. So that's something I'm really looking forward to, getting better about saying all these sales, what were their original origin? What was their first contact point? Or how many contact points do we have logged for that person? You know, maybe build some correlations there.
Of course. Would you have any idea as to how many of your existing customers came back to your booth this time, or how many of the people you had contacted from the attendee list actually came, visited you? Would you have any track of that?
So I don't have anything measurable on that, other than just my observations. Mm. And I observe that our customers do like to come by the booth and chat and connect. So I'd say we probably had a good probably 40 or 50, you know, customers come by just to connect and say, hey, just to free up that connection that we have.
Okay. You did mention that when you do follow up, you try to personalize your follow up. What does that process look like? How do you personalize this?
So it's personalized to the point where we're not just building one copy paste email.
Right.
It's actually writing a new email from scratch for each one. But I guess we're still email, kind of a less personal thing. Yeah. But just kind of writing from the heart. And I find that to be a valuable process, rather than you know, like as a consumer, having people selling stuff to me all the time, you can just like with the first sentence or two, you can tell that it's a copy paste,
right.
That it's generic. And so if you take that time to, I mean, at least have the first couple of lines just come straight up from your heart and let it have grammatical errors, let it have personalization or something that they know is unique and personal to what right. you're doing. Like that helps a ton.
So apart from the mail, are you sharing any material? Are you sharing any, is it an offer or is it like, oh, here is this tax planning book that we have. What does the mail contain besides that personalized, individually handwritten letter?
That message of come buy our software is like so obvious, you don't even really need to keep asking for that and focusing on that as much as we'll offer webinars. Like, hey, here's a free 2-hour webinar where we're going to train people on how to use our software, but also on the principles and philosophies of TACT. Whenever we send something out, it's like we don't want to send anything out that doesn't have new information or new value to people. And so another big source, and we don't send on a regular basis. We send these emails whenever there is something of value to communicate, such as a new feature that just got released. And here's a new feature and the value it brings, and here's how to use that new feature. Here are some tips and tricks. Or here's like I really like letting people know of like events or things like that we're offering, making available. So it's, yeah, I'm a born introvert, so I can never just create things to say that I don't have to say, you know, it's come up out of thin air. And so it's always kind of to the point of here is what we're trying to communicate. Here's something new that you haven't heard before.
Yeah. And this first follow-up that you do, that is sort of going with the offer or going with just information. Hey, you came, you showed interest. This is some additional material which will help you understand the space or understand what we do. What is the structure? Or is it just the mail that, hey, thanks for coming. We love meeting you and whatever personalization that you do.
So I guess we do keep it simple like that, where it is like that. Great to make the connection. Thanks for coming. A lot of times they have those questions that they you don't have time to explain in a conference setting. And so we'll offer like a demo, like, you know, thanks for this, but let's, here's a calendar of available times. Feel free to select one to talk further and get more in depth with it. So it's usually an offer like that, plus, you know, any questions you have or any barriers or things that we can help with. Right. It's more just that I can offer to them in that way. But we're not like, hey, are you going to buy our product? It's more, what more information can we give you? What can we help you with, or questions we can answer, help convince your team members or things like that.
Right. Of course. From your experience, how do you decide whether you will go back to the show next year? Do you sort of get a sense while you are in the show this year that, you know what, we have to come back next year? Or is it something you decide differently? What's your process for doing that?
That's a good question. So as I always tell our people is that if we even generate one sale from the show, it's worth it. Like for the cost of our product versus the cost of the show. And so, you know, we try not to discriminate too much on the shows. If, you know, there's some that provide way more value than other shows, but if we can do both of them, sure, if we've got people to travel around and do this. But I really look at the interest of the people while they're at the show. So, there are some particular shows that have like our core audience, and you can see that. Like you can predict it based on the topics of the presentations. And all that of, you know, which shows are going to touch topics that will get people thinking about products like ours, or people that already have those conceptions in their mind of those products. And so I guess the content of the show, but then also the volume of people that you're able to bring and the time you're able to spend with the people. There was a conference I went to not long ago. It was a very niche conference exactly on the subject matter of my tool. But there is just so little opportunity to interact with the people during that conference that it wasn't worth it. Though we still got the same effect during the presentations and all that. There were plenty of shout outs to my product that worked even better than having a booth.
Right. Right. So you just mentioned that some shows deliver more value than others.
Yes.
How will you sort of explain that a bit more? That this is a show, you may or may not name the shows, that's fine. You can say this show did A, B, C, D, and this show just got stuck at A. And that it's very clear that the other show delivered a lot more value. So can you just sort of unpack that a bit?
Something makes a big difference is like how on display the exhibits are. Sometimes they'll be relegated off to some dark corner or a hallway or something like that that doesn't get as much attention. Other shows will really focus specific time for the exhibit hall or like really put a lot of time between each session and breaks that just dramatically increases your exposure to customers. And then, of course, like the subject of the shows is really big. So sometimes you'll have like potential customers in these shows, other types of shows, but their focus is all on something totally different, you know, during the show. You know, if they just came out of a presentation that talked about better ways to implement tact planning and you're selling a tact planning solution, that's gold right there. So I guess there's that. Yeah, the time that they allot and the attention that they're able to bring to the exhibit hall and the subject of the conference.
Right. Makes total sense.
And quantity of people. I put that out there too. Like bigger conferences, more people, more worthwhile.
Right. Right. What is the biggest mistake do you see exhibitors make after a show? After the show is over?
That's a great question. Pondering that, and I'm sure I'm one of those exhibitors that makes that mistake, is the biggest mistakes I see are failing to follow up in a timely fashion when people are still excited about and remember the product. But if you wait too long, people will then see your email follow-up as just junk mail. But if you get it quick enough on the ball, they see that personal connection, they remember you, and it's still fresh in their minds. I think that's probably the biggest one. And then, taking good detailed notes on the individual and being able to follow up with what that customer really cares about and leading with that.
Right.
I think those are the things that I want to work on more.
Absolutely. And can you talk about one story where a nice post-show follow-up actually converted somebody and made them into a customer? Would you recall one of those?
I guess the sad part is I can't think of any right off the cuff of having a connection like that. Though I guess sometimes tough to pin down what is it that really got the customer to sign up. Was it the show? Was it, you know, is that the initial awareness? Did they also see us on social media? Most of our people, like our marketing people, have done a great job of kind of making people very aware of our brand and what we do, to the point where not too many people like have never heard of us at these conferences of the people that are focused on what we sell. And so it is kind of like a cementing factor. I'll say when you are able to connect with the attendees and like do dinner with them or do something like that, or connect with them even outside of the booth, that exponentially increases your connection with them. So like if you're able to, even within the conference somehow, maybe do lunch together with them, do something like that. I'll say I'm not giving you like one specific example, unfortunately, but, and I have a really bad memory, which is another thing that works against me. But when you are able to connect with them on the outside of the booth, even within the conference, connect with them outside the booth, that makes a huge, huge impact.
Right. From the trade shows that you have attended, if you can change something or tell the organizer something that, look, this is a need and that's not being met, what would that be?
Yeah, be thinking again. What can they do to organize it differently to make it go better? Got me thinking outside the box here. I do see a lot of efforts put in the conferences I've gone to to funnel more people through the exhibit halls. One thing I've seen that hasn't worked very well, sometimes they'll do like exhibitor spotlights within the exhibit hall. And it's like, you know, you're supposed to go and gather and watch some exhibitor present on a little stage within the exhibit hall. I've never seen that work. Mm-hmm. I've seen it attempted many times. So I guess rather than saying here's something they can do, that's something I've seen that's not currently working very well. It's like it doesn't bring much of an audience together because they can always just walk by your booth and see it, you know, either way. But one wild idea, I always like to throw out wild ideas, is maybe rather than trying to bring the stage into the exhibit hall and trying to get people to even pay attention to the schedule of those presentations, I've seen bringing a live camera through the exhibit hall, you know, just at certain points could be like a really cool way to feature and highlight what's going on there. And just kind of bringing like a taste of the excitement of the exhibit hall to the rest of the conference.
Right.
Or I've seen lunches or things like that where you have like specific tables for people with different interests. And people can go to a table and, hey, they want to stay and ask questions. I've had opportunities like that before, and I've seen really good outcomes from those. Even being an introvert, I still feel there is great value in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Great inputs. Would you have any advice to first-time exhibitors?
Excellent. So I'd say study out what makes a good booth, because they oftentimes get just cluttered with so much mess and information, and you don't even know what the company is doing. Just keep that clean, neat, concise messaging enough to show people what you do to get them interested to ask more. Be really good about collecting contacts, looking for solutions like Supanjan's solution to gather those contacts and have notes, things like that for the follow-up. Because yeah, once people return home from a conference, they just forget everything really quickly and just get back into catching up with the week's worth of work that they've fallen behind on. So being able to capture that and bring that forward past the conference. And yeah, registering early, getting a good location for your booth makes a big difference. I'd start small, start with like a 10-foot booth. Yeah. But larger booths do not cost a ton more, and they do leave a much bigger impact. So some thoughts there.
Yeah, I think these are great. Shall we attempt a rapid fire?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, if you want to skip anything, skip, but there's nothing very controversial here. So what's your favorite trade show snack?
Oh, I love pretzels. Good. The big baked pretzels.
Yeah. Best booth giveaway you have ever seen?
Seen some interesting ones now of people like creating like hats that you can like custom attach things to. Mm-hmm. Kits, things that you actually will use rather than. And I like it when people make it really subtle. Sorry, I'm not rapid firing very well, but like the really subtle branding. You don't want to wear some big old advertisement for another company, but so subtle, it's like barely there where the person knows what it is, but it's still something they actually would wear and use.
Right, right. A trade show you will never miss?
LCI, so Lean Construction Congress Conference. It's really niche for our target audience.
Yes, it is, it is. Worst booth disaster?
I've seen anything from, backdrops breaking or collapsing to awful color clashes to way too much stuff. I'd say the worst one I've been a part of or experienced they just tried to cram way too many things into a really small space, including way too many people as well. And I'd have to show you an image to really capture the moment.
Okay. That's it. And my final question today is, what's one trend you think will change trade shows in the next year?
In 1 year's time, we're probably not going to see a ton of huge changes. I mean, one thing we're seeing now is like AI popping up on every booth and all that. But I'd say, and I've actually seen other people like doing better smart capture of attendees. Maybe we could go as crazy as facial recognition and things like that. You know, references LinkedIn, or I think of some really crazy, weird ideas that would could add some value. But man, 1 year's time, I don't see a ton happening within 1 year.
Yeah, it's a short time. True. And finally, what would you expect your attendees to do better so that they get more value out of the visits that they're making in the trade show?
Ooh, that's a great question. If they were to take notes, that would be amazing. Like, so it's usually just off the cuff and just how much do you remember? And I think back on conferences I've gone to as an attendee, and I remember very little, or sometimes I don't remember which company it was that does that or this. I'll bring back collateral and just have a pile, you know, that gets thrown away after a little while.
Yeah.
So I'd say taking notes in a way that you can reaccess those notes later, like making it searchable or some data of what it is that you did find at the trade show. Because there are many times where like years later or months later, I'm like, man, I need a solution for this. I know I saw one for that, but I can't remember where it was. This is better notes.
Absolutely. PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit TradeshowEngage.com. That is TradeshowEngage.com. Steve, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. I think this was a very interesting conversation with lots of information and inputs and analysis from you. I appreciate your taking the time, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
Perfect. I did this first time for me to an interview about trade shows. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be the very first one.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a BizCast original podcast and is produced for PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.